I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, brew glory, and even put a stopper in death. Then again, maybe some of you have come to Hogwarts in possession of abilities so formidable that you feel confident enough to not pay attention.
Host or hopefully friend, if you have been listening to the other podcasts and enjoy them, because I enjoy you for
friend.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoying you for listening, because you know this is just casual conversation, and
right.
And you, the listener, are a part of it, and we welcome you to a special edition version of the IMO show, which is. There will be many special edition episodes on various, movies, books, songs, albums, sports, what have you. But we're going to kick it off with Harry Potter series of novels. And I have a guest with me who's just itching to talk as he is interjecting in a good way. Introduce yourself.
My name is Cam McCormick.
Though we will be specifically talking about Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which is the first book in the series, later episodes, special edition episodes, will have the other six books with different guests. But we're going to focus on the first book, but we will touch upon the other books because these novels are all within the series are all interconnected in various ways. But if you don't really have time, or you're like, I don't want to read these books, I don't really have time, but I want to hear about people talking about them, you know, feel free to continue listening to the podcast. And obviously, if you're a huge fan, like my man Cameron here, and you've been there from day one, we implore you to just, you know, listen to the podcast and hear our thoughts. And also, if you have any opinions or things that we didn't cover within book one specifically, you know, my Twitter, Facebook, email are in the description. You know, message me.
Leave a comment.
So what do you think was special about this book? And I guess try to jump back to, this is going to be a weird question, but jump back to when you first read this book, but try to... And analyze how you felt with your 21-year-old intelligence, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Not really, but I got you.
Because I feel like because I read this book when I was 11. So if I was 11, like if I tried to talk about how I felt now, but within my 11-year-old self, it'd be like, not as eloquent or articulate.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Right. No, I'm trying to think when I first started to read this. I was probably still in grade school. Okay. And I think what was special about this book, the first book, is it kind of introduced you to this whole other world, you know, of where everything is just magical, you know, and probably the most cliche way, you know, to say that. Yeah. It was just like, but like everything was so awesome. Like you could fly, you could cast spells and have your dishes be done. You know, you had
by washing them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the sponge washes the plate by itself, and then you could be like, I don't know, watching TV or whatever else you wanted to do. But, I mean, there was just so much. Bertie Blotz, every flavored bean, that was tight. There was so much in that whole wizarding world that, like, when you're first introduced to it, it kind of, like, changes your perspective on everything.
Okay.
I, like, probably from book one on, I just wanted to be a wizard, you know?
Okay.
I was just like, man, being a muggle it sucks.
Yeah.
You know? I totally wanted everything that, you know, everything that they were able to do, all the powers and things like that, and,
yeah.
You know, kind of bought into, you know, the whole craze of Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah.
Without jumping on the bandwagon, but, you know, kind of appreciating it for what it was.
From day one.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, yeah, nobody had to convince me.
No friends.
Yeah. So.
Can't believe I made a Drake reference, but, you know, I just did.
Sometimes.
But I see what you're saying.
That's why it's
cool.
Special.
Yeah, so it's like, you felt like, wow, like, my life is boring. Because that's kind of what Rowling tries to accomplish within the first few chapters. It's like, she shows her, you know, she shows the reader Mr. Dursley,
mm-hmm.
you know, the most boring guy ever. Like,
oh,
he's
yeah.
so boring.
Oh, yeah. And you just hate
and,
him.
Yeah,
you
he's
know.
So dull. And the fact that, you know, he juxtaposes, the author juxtaposes him with his sister-in-law or his wife's sister
mm-hmm.
and kind of how she's like, you know, this witch that can do all these things
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't dress like everybody else and she's different and she mm-hmm. represents a world that's just different and unique and whimsical and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
Yeah, the favorite
and
child.
And that. And you just read that and you're like... Yeah, that's way better than, you know, this boring old Dursley family. Like,
easily.
And then you start feeling kind of ashamed of yourself. Like, man, I can't fly on a broomstick. I can't, you know, I don't have every flavored bean.
One can only pretend.
I can't do spells or I can't, you know, go on these adventures. So this book kind of serves as a vehicle to kind of, like, open yourself to these
possibilities. Right, right. That's exactly it.
So, that's cool. Any moment that jumps out at you from this book, and you know, because the summary didn't cover every single moment.
I mean,
there's some really
even
fun.
In
that 10
minutes.
Yeah, there is some really fun moments in here. And is there anything that personally that you just were like, oh man, I love that moment right there.
I'm not sure if I can call on my favorite moments per se. One of the things that always sticks out to me about the first book is Harry's first, like, awesome Christmas, you know?
Okay.
He comes downstairs and he's like, presents? Like, what? What is this? And then,
See, that just shows how badly the Dursleys treat Harry.
Right, right.
You know, because they don't even give him presents, like...
I think they give him socks, like, every year or something.
Well, one year it was socks, another year it was just, like, a dollar. I mean, it was a dollar in British currency,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, like 50 pence or, like, I mean, you could Google, like, what that is, like, because chronologically, that gift was given to Harry chronologically within the Harry Potter universe in 1991.
Mm.
So you take 1991 50 pence to what is that in a U.S. currency? And you take that U.S. currency, what is that in 2014 currency? You can do all that. The point is, it was chump change. It was nothing.
Get this out of my face.
So, but you say, yeah, when he has that real Christmas where he got, like,
man.
A gift.
Yeah.
From, I guess, what was it? From, you know, Hermione and Hagrid.
Yeah, he's got
just all his friends.
Yeah.
And,
he's got an ugly sweater from Mrs. Weasley, you know, with an H on it. And, you know, and he just, like, he feels like a part of, I don't know, a good life.
Yeah,
you know,
he has a new family.
Yeah, exactly.
He has a new family.
The Weasleys, and that's awesome. And then Harry goes and says, Happy Christmas, Harry. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, whenever me and my friends would...
That British accent's
you know,
not half bad.
Oh, I'm killer at British accent. But, you know, whenever it was like Christmas time, you know, any of my friends who were like into Harry Potter would just be like, Harry, Happy Christmas, Cam. Like, Happy Christmas, Peter.
Yeah, it's a weird, because I know this book was controversial when it came out, because, you know, in the Bible, witchcraft is a no-no.
Right.
It's a no-no. And then they celebrate Christmas and Easter in the Harry Potter universe. And that kind of upset, you know, some, you know, devout Christians. And even some friends of mine that, you know, we go to the same church and have the same convictions about just our faith, you know, some of these friends, they don't want, you know, they don't like Harry Potter. They don't think people should read it. And I totally understand because, you know, it's the focus of it is witchcraft. But at the same time, I think, to me, witchcraft is just more of a plot device, you know, because this book could have been like Ender's Game, where it's like, instead of he's a wizard, oh no, your parents that died to save you were astronauts and they had force powers, like, you know, like it could have been like Ender's Game or Star Wars or something like that, where they have telekinesis or, you know, manipulate gravity powers as opposed to magical powers. And I don't know, it was definitely a controversial thing, but I think, you know, if someone feels offended by some of these story elements of Harry Potter, you know, yeah, that's, they're perfectly, you know, have the right to not read it because of that. But I think my opinion is kind of like, you know, it's, she's not trying to poke a bear. She's just trying to tell a, you know, a cool story.
Right, right.
I don't know if you share that view or if you have any perspective on that. I just wanted to touch on that briefly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, I think it was more so just a book about, that allowed you to imagine, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never, you know, sat down in my room and whatnot and was like, I don't know, trying to conjure up a potion or something like that, you know, to do anything supernatural. Like, that never even crossed my mind. And I don't think many people, I don't think the majority of Harry Potter fans have ever gone, you know, to such lengths.
Yeah.
I did get a plastic wand, you know, for Christmas or something like that, you know, just because, like, I like, you know, I like the paraphernalia.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Memorabilia, you know, I have a robe and stuff like that.
I mean, I've had friends dress up as Hermione.
Yeah.
For Halloween and with a wand and everything.
Mm-hmm. I was Lee Jordan for Halloween one time.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know.
But I think, yeah, but none of these friends who are Christians who dressed up as Hermione before, you know, or I've seen them on Facebook with a Hermione costume or whatever. They're not trying to do spells like that. They're not literally saying, you know, Expelliarmus at my phone, thinking it's gonna fly out my hand. So
right.
I hope not, because I love my phone.
right. So there's no.
And who do you think is the MVP of this book?
That's a good.
So yeah, Harry doesn't count, because you know that's cheating. You do that, Harry's in. I mean, yeah, well, yeah, he's in the title of the stinking book.
Most definitely. So, aside from Harry, I would say, and people might widely agree with this, it might not be too unpopular, but I think my MVP would have to be, just as I'm recalling it now, Ron, just for the sacrifice that he made in the end of the book. As they're going through all of these security measures to get to the Sorcerer's Stone and try to defeat, you know, again, who Harry thinks is Snape, who he finds out is Quirrell, at one stage, one security measure, I think it was the final one right before they entered where it was held.
Oh, where Ron gave himself up?
Yeah, when they're
second
playing chess.
The second to
was
last.
Was it second to last? Oh,
the
okay.
Last one was the potion. You had to figure out which one was could allow you to enter through a locked door. Because if you don't drink a certain potion, that particular door is enchanted in a way that doesn't allow you to get through it.
Oh, okay.
So that's the last one. But the one before that was the chess one.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Ron makes the sacrifice. And I think, you know, kind of like I was saying earlier, there's, like, so little violence or anything like that. Like, everything's super, like, you know, light, and it's kind of like introductory, it's a little elementary, if you will.
Oh yeah.
And so for, you know, an 11-year-old or 12-year-old like Ron was, you know, at the time, to be like, you know what, I'm gonna do this, you know.
Oh yeah.
And and it totally foreshadows on who Ron is as a character. Like, he
So, you know, we're transitioning into the second part. We don't have too much to too much in terms of length, but there are some interesting things to talk about. Because, you know, this book is pretty long, especially for a kid. It's like, what, 500 pages? So a lot happens in here that we want to touch on. What are some things you think Harry learns in this book that help him in the future installments of the series, like specific to this book?
I think when he realizes at the end of this book that what protected him way back when from Voldemort trying to kill him was his mother's love.
Okay.
And I think he always had like a curiosity about like the wizarding world and like always like digging around in his nose or sticking his nose where it doesn't belong, things like that. I think he always had that, but then once he realized that he actually had a particular quality that was like special and could be used to his advantage.
Okay.
You know, in the other books. Like he, I don't know, at least in my perspective, had a sort of edge, you know? So he was like almost willing to go, you know, and find Voldemort, you know? If he, you know, it worked when he was zero, you know? Probably drove him a little bit more.
A sense of resourcefulness, like, and confidence. Like, okay, if I can just really use all the resources at my disposal, like, I can do this. Or whatever challenge he faces in the future books, like, he can kind of have that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, like, at least for me, like, as I was reading the other books, I always thought about how he had this edge over Voldemort. Like, you have to think about the situation here. Voldemort was like the most powerful dark wizard, and a baby defeated him.
So
something like a mother's love, it instantly becomes like that much more significant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was like, every time I thought about Harry, you know, from then on, I was just like, man, that he actually might win this.
Love.
Yeah, yeah.
He has that in his heart. He can hold on to that.
Yeah.
He knows his parents love
him. He had, I don't know, it was like on his skin or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, destroy Professor Quirrell.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. And definitely like...
Since we're talking about learning, you know, Harry learning things, what would you want to learn the most at Hogwarts? Like, what subject, out of all the subjects that were taught in the series... What would you look forward to the most? Which subject?
So the classes that I can remember are potions, Defense Against the Dark Arts, Herbology. What's the other one? Divination.
Yep.
Those are the only ones I can remember. Are there others?
There's Muggle Studies. Agent Runes, Arithmancy. Forget that one. Harmony's the only one I took that one anyway. It's like some weird math stuff. And then, what was the other ones? That's the only ones I can remember. I feel like there's other ones, but they didn't really touch on them that much. But those are the ones I can remember that I throw out there.
Yeah, I would say, probably, I'm thinking of the four that I mentioned, probably because they stuck out in my
mind. Yeah, go with the ones that stick out the most and figure out which is number one. History of Magic, that's another one.
Oh, yeah. Who cares about history?
Yeah, I know. that's basically the running theme throughout the entire series, History of Magic, so yeah, whatever.
I would say potions.
Okay.
Potions, so useful.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very, very useful. I was just going to say in the earlier question, when I said, what did Harry learn in this book that helped him in another book, was the fact that a bezoar, like I guess the stomach of a goat or whatever, I think they called it a bezoar. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I know it's spelled B-E-Z-O-A-R.
Okay.
And that stone, you know, can, like, help against most, like, violent toxins that try to kill you. Like,
okay.
Or, like, poisons or things like that mm-hmm. that try to kill you. Mm-hmm. A Bezoar stone can aid in most of those circumstances. And Snape, like, chastised Harry for not knowing that in the earlier chapter of book one. Like, oh, like, you didn't know that? Oh, I guess you're not the famous...
You didn't know what a Bezoar was?
Guess you're not the famous Harry Potter.
What kind of
junk? So guess you're all hype or whatever. And I'm like, dude, he's 11 years old. But anyway, that's
the
whole
thing.
So it's funny because in book six, Harry remembered that in book six.
Uh-huh.
And because Ron got poisoned... And he took a Bezoar from Professor Slughorn's office, because he took over for Snape,
mm-hmm.
and shoved it in Ron's mouth, and then he just, like, was able to be hospitalized and treated. And if Harry didn't do that, Ron would have died.
Mm.
So it's like, and it's funny, because they reference that late in the later chapter of that book, like, Hermione's like, you know, it's a good thing you paid attention in Snape's class. Like, I'm like, I don't know if that's paying attention or just like...
He probably just caught it.
He probably just like, just remembered it because the moment required it. It's like, well, either remember this insult from Snape and save my best friend's life, or my best friend's just dead.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I think potions is very useful. I think it helps because, I mean, it seems like... It uses a lot of resources in the world, you know, like plants, metals, mm-hmm. and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What's I guess, do you have any memories of a potion in the universe, Harry Potter universe, or just like, or maybe not a specific potion, but maybe just like. You saw, like, oh, the potions were used this way, and it really, like, made a difference.
Did somebody used a love potion? Okay, so the one in number two. Wait, in the whole series or just one?
Oh, the whole series. Anything about potions that really stuck out at you? Stuck out to you?
The one where Hermione tried to turn. The three into members of the Slytherin house, and she got turned into a cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
And it was helpful because it was like, okay, like, we can disguise ourselves using the potion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, and they had used it multiple times for the series.
So we're going to switch to the next question, which is... how does this fit within the whole series, this one book? What role does this book play other than kind of the obvious, you know, introductory, you know, role? Like, what other roles do you think this book plays throughout the whole series? How does it connect to the rest of the books?
Well, I definitely think it does lay... I wouldn't even say that it lays like a foundation. I think it just is like really, really just introduces a lot of things.
Okay.
Kind of scratches this. Like looking back on it, the other books were so rich with like, you know, the whole, with like background and things like that. I see a little bit of it, but it's mostly just like Harry just like enjoying himself.
Yeah.
You know, at school, you know, he's got friends and things. And,
yeah.
You know, he joins the Quidditch team. He hates Professor Snape and... You know, eventually they start investigating, you know, what's really important, you know.
Yeah.
Like, who is Voldemort and the Sorcerer's Stone and things. I think, you know, like I was saying about Harry's mom, like the love of Harry's mom, that kind of carries throughout, you know, at least in my opinion, something that kind of motivated Harry, like, you know. A sense of I can actually, you know, have the power to defeat Voldemort. You know, I think that carried through. And you know, there's at least one of the foreshadowings of like later books is the Sorcerer's Stone itself.
Yeah.
You know, when you eventually realize what it is, it's pretty cool. You know,
signifies like, okay, this is how they're pitted against each other, because Voldemort wants immortality, and he's willing to spit in the face of love to get it. I mean, you know, you're murdering parents of an infant, and then you're murdering the infant. That's pretty much what you're doing, mm-hmm. symbolically. Mm-hmm. And then Harry's kind of like representing love and relationships and the willingness to forgo immortality in order to preserve that love, like to embrace death in order, because he's willing to die for people he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Even in this first book, even though he's 11 years old, and Voldemort, who's significantly older than him, he hates that. He hates the idea of giving up his own life for anybody. So I don't know if that is that what you're hinting at, or am I putting words in your
mouth? Not necessarily as deep as that. I just think I like thinking about, because there were a lot of like clues, you know, like the Sorcerer's Stone.
So you're talking about the object itself, what it represents.
No. Just like different things. Okay. Sorcerer's Stone comes up later when you realize, you know, the Sorcerer's Stone, the invisibility cloak, is it called the Elder Wand? Dumbledore's wand, like that, wand. Like different stuff like that, and pieces of the story that are that are, you know, kind of thrown out there in the first book.
I
kind of come together in the other book, so it gives a lot of clues, but I don't think it gives a really like complete picture.
I see.
So, which is cool, because I think you have to read the other series.
It's almost like a little tease or a little free sample.
Yeah. Perfect way to put it. It's a free sample. It really is.
That's good. Okay. And I guess we'll jump into the third and final personal question, which is because at one point in the first book of this series, Harry stumbles upon, you know, this mirror, and in the castle of Hogwarts, and you know, he discovers it because he's, you know, goofing around with the invisibility cloak that he got from, you'll eventually find out he got it from Dumbledore,
mm-hmm.
who his dad, Harry's dad, gave that to Dumbledore to give to Harry, and he's using it, and he stumbles upon this mirror, and it's called the Mirror of Erised, and allows you to see kind of your deepest desire in your heart visually as an image in the mirror, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you're like, you know, the 50 Cent line, you know, I love you like a fat kid love cake,
mm.
you know, if you're 50 Cent and you see the mirror and you see yourself, you know, I guess as a fat kid with eating a piece of cake,
uh-huh.
with a beautiful lady that you love just as much as the cake,
you know,
that's what he would see, not just him, just his own reflection, but just that image in the mirror. And Harry, you know, he stumbles upon the mirror and he sees his parents, his grandparents on both sides, all his relatives and all mm-hmm. that stuff that died
mm-hmm.
before his parents died. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he lives with the Dursleys, is because he has no other relatives.
Mm-hmm.
But in the mirror, he sees all of them as if he, you know, as if they're just there with him. So I ask you, if you were looking at this mirror like Harry, do you have an idea of what you would see given that opportunity?
Mm-hmm. I think I would have a Nobel Prize.
Okay.
Yeah. In short, I would have a Nobel Prize. I've always been interested in...
In what?
In medicine. In
some okay, capacity. Cool. Nice.
Medicine or public health, something like that. I've always been interested in helping people out in that way. That's what I'm studying now. Always been my favorite subject. So again, you know, the whole potions class being, you know, one of my favorites. You know, if I could take that now, I would see that, and I think I would just see like myself with my family. You know,
okay.
my family to be.
Okay.
I'm 21 now, so that's long far off.
So, like, your own family, you're the patriarch of that family, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You know, I got three kids.
Okay.
You know, and you know, I'm out on.
Personally, I would go with two. That would be my. I mean, I wouldn't see my future family in the mirror, but uh-huh. If we were talking about, hey, like,
how many kids?
Marriage, families. Uh-huh. What would look at? Two kids.
Two kids.
That's it.
Is that your limit?
That's my. That's my limit.
You won't go any higher, any lower. You want two kids?
No, two kids exactly.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's healthy for a kid to be an only child. That's just my opinion. I mean, I know there are only childs that enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if I had to choose, like, I have the power to choose to some degree. Not,
that's true. That's true.
You know, I'm going to shoot for having my child have a younger sibling.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want too many kids.
Not the same way.
I don't want, like, five kids, man. Some families have, like, five. Whew.
Nah, we don't need that.
Like, my parents, I have three siblings with, like, the same parents. And I don't know how my parents, kudos to them. Kudos to my parents for dealing with the four of us. Because we were crazy,
got it, man.
But I guess you're saying, hey, you want to have
here,
kids?
You're here. Your brothers are there.
Yeah. We made it.
Yeah.
The process was probably taxing on them, but we made it. They're responsible because of that. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to do that one day yourself, having a family and all that, and having that accomplishment of the Nobel Prize in the efforts of helping people through their health and medicine and addressing their health it needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think one of my deepest desires is just to use my my strengths, aspects of my character.
Okay.
And then my intelligence to its highest capacity. And so I think, like, doing something in medicine or even, like, public health. I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, I don't have to find a cure for cancer, but something like substantial enough that, like, I really worked for it, and it could just be recognized, you know.
Gotcha.
So
cool.
Yeah, something like that, and obviously, I think that, like, it's not about the acknowledgement per se. I think it's more so about, you know, that's why, like, I mentioned my family.
I see.
You know, just knowing that, like, I'm doing something, you know, really radical with my life. You know, again, like my Christian self, I'm out, you know, helping. I really want to, like, help a church in a third world country.
Okay.
Move out there at some point down the line.
Yeah.
But so stuff like that, I think.
So it's
great.
more of the self sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's your deep desire, to be in an opportunity where you can really give all your efforts to help as many people as possible.
Right. You know? Yeah. Exactly. That's probably the deepest desire right there.
Okay. That's cool. I like that. And you know, it's funny because I didn't realize this until 3 or 4 years ago, but the mayor of Ariz, Ariz's desire is spelled backwards.
Get out.
Yeah. That's why it's called mayor of Ariz, because I guess J.K. Rowling, the author, couldn't come up with a clever way to describe the mayor, so she just took desire and just reversed it.
Dang it.
Yeah. And it kind of makes sense, because it does show your deepest desire, that mayor.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
She changed my life.
You know, and I don't like the fact that, like, I understand this, but, I mean, Dumbledore basically lied to Harry. You find this out in Book 7, Deathly Hallows.
About
that,
what he was...
Because Harry asked him, oh, sir, Professor Dumbledore, what would you see in the mirror?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do you see in the mirror? And he's like, oh,
I would see a pair of socks.
Yeah, it's like, and he says, you know, I can't do the accent like you, but he says, you know, so many people, you know, they love and respect, you know, me and what I've accomplished, and so I guess because of that, they just give me a lot of books, but for some reason, nobody gives me socks, and it's such a shame. And then he just walks off, and it's just like, all right, you try to be cute to justify lying to a little kid. That's what you're trying to do.
Yo, you have to.
Because what he really saw in the mirror was his younger sister that died when he was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he really saw.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Dumbledore. Dumbledore's name is Albus Dumbledore, and then his younger brother is Aberforth. They're all A's.
Mm-hmm.
Children. As their parents are trying to be cute and do the A thing.
You know that.
Yeah, you know. It's. I mean, my
they do.
My parents, like, they were like, my older brothers are K and K. That's their letter that begin names their name.
Yeah.
And then me and my younger brother is R and R. So it's like, they're trying to, yeah, I don't know. I guess parents do that. Maybe I'll do that one day.
Parents do that.
Maybe I'll do that one day.
I actually definitely won't.
Oh, really? You won't be cute with the name?
No, I hate that.
But anyway, Albus Dumbledore's parents did that thing you hate.
Yep.
And, you know, his younger sister, Ariana, died, you know, a very tragic death that would take an incredibly long time to explain, so I'm not going to get into it. But the point is, he still misses her, you know, because, you know, she's not with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who he sees in there, her alive and whole. That's his deepest desire, to be able to be with her alive and whole, you know, and that whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, ultimately, I guess I understand why he lied and didn't tell Harry that, because that would have, one, that's a very long story.
Oh,
two, sure. It's very depressing. And three, it doesn't really help Harry in his present situation at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just too much to put on an 11-year-old kid.
Yeah, you know? I think it does come at an appropriate time in the series.
We are about to end the podcast, sadly enough.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah.
Don't say it. Don't say it out loud.
Yeah, you know, all good things come to an end.
I just asked you to not say it. He goes and...
I'm sorry. It's reality.
You're not sorry.
I love talking about Harry Potter, but, you know, we can't do it all day because, you know, podcasts can't be too long because, you know, people have, like, lives.
People got to go home.
You know, people got to go to work, or people, you know, they got to do this or do that, what have you.
You need to listen to it on a long commute somewhere.
That's true, but, you know, you can't listen to us talk for 5 hours.
I can listen to us talk for years and years.
I think you have a bias because I guess you like to hear your voice. See that, Aaron?
Shut up.
Okay, anyway, the last question of the podcast for Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. The first part of this multi-part Harry Potter version of my podcast.
Yep. Number one, getting it done.
That's right. Final thoughts on the book. Anything you want to say about the book? It could be as a whole. It could be one particular part we forgot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to wrap it up in a sense of, like, just this book. Let's not try to touch on the rest of the series, but just kind of this book, you know, anything that in your heart that you're burning to say.
Burning all my heart. I forget what I was going to say. Oh, you still rolling?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, my lasting impressions of this book is kind of what I was saying earlier, is it's just awesome.
Okay.
You know, it's really cool to read, you know, especially in one's youth, you know, when your imagination is, I don't know, maybe a little bit stronger than it is when you're, you know, life hits you and stuff like that. I was reading this in, like, middle school, and I think I finished in high school.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I was young. I definitely think it started an interest in the other stories. And so, you know, I mean, without even talking about it, I think it got me really interested in the fantasy series.
That
was,
okay.
It's like probably my favorite genre of literature. And,
gotcha.
I mean, I think it just had a lasting impression on me, and it's something that I would like even encourage. I know I'm gonna want my kids to read it if they're down, you know, if they wanna, you know, like what Pop likes.
Oh yeah, that would be great if that were to happen. Like, you'd probably be like super ecstatic.
Oh, most definitely.
You know, and luckily, you know, thankfully and gratefully, you know, we were able to experience that, because I started when I was 11 and finished when I was 19. And that's basically the track that the protagonist, Harry Potter, went through. You know, book one, he's 11, and then the last book, he's 17. So it's somewhat similar to that for me as a reader.
Right.
So, but that's cool. No, I think it's a beautiful thing, just this first book, just kind of...
It's a beautiful thing.
It's kind of like going through the photo album, you know, with oh, my mom loves to do that. I'm sure your mom loves to go through the photo album. Just seeing yourself as a 6-year-old.
She likes me to go through the photo album and be like, remember when you were this cute? And this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom does the same thing. It's like, look, you're 9. You're cute.
Yeah.
Now you have facial hair.
Who's done with that, Ronaldo?
Oh, yeah. My mom, this is, she don't like, she's not really a facial hair kind of woman. But, not related to Harry Potter at all, but anyway.
We digress,
and we...
as one does.
We direct it back onto the main track of Harry Potter, and we thank you for enjoying us for as long as you have.
Deepest gratitudes.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Please continue to listen, comment. My information is in the description. Facebook, Twitter, email, all that stuff. And I'd just like to thank my guest, Cameron, for taking the time to be here.
No problem, man. No problem.
Yeah, appreciate it. Love this man. This guy's, you know, he's one of my boys. We go way back to childhood when we started reading Harry Potter.
Hey.
And, you know, thank you for just dispensing your knowledge and of Harry Potter and even just things you enjoyed about Harry Potter. And it's cool to just... You know, we have similarities of things that we like, but we also saw different things.
Mm-hmm.
You saw some things, oh, I didn't think you'd know, and then I saw some things, you're like, oh, I didn't know. So it's good to have you just on the podcast to talk about Harry Potter. It was a pleasure.
No, and, yeah, totally, man. Totally.
So thank you guys for listening. Enjoy your day. Wish you a bright and happy future.